I mean, I gotta get rich, but I don't want to just do stuff for money.
Bro, it's incredibly difficult to make it. When do I give up on this game?
You're still gonna do it if it don't work.
What's some mistakes, bro, that people need to be looking out for in this time?
It has to work or it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. It's your host, Nehemiah Davidson. Today we got a super special episode. When I talk about music mogul, business mogul, entrepreneur, philanthropist, when I talk about all things across the board, we talking about the CEO of Culture, Ty. What up, my guy?
What's happening, man?
Man, thank you for coming on, bro. Yeah. So it's so funny, man. So guys, I meet this brother. We're in Davos, Switzerland. How random. I'm with Troy and Shoddy and Earn Your Leisure, and we stand in this, I don't know if you call it a log cabin or whatever, and he just had this whole crazy side. We had our part, and we just kicked it the whole week. And when I talk about one of the hardest working dudes, he was never not on the phone. He was never not taking a meeting. He was never not networking. I'm going to be honest, I was looking at you like, I got to step my crap. This man making deals all day. You a deal maker, bro. How long you been doing this, man?
Man, that's like a loaded question, right?
Yeah.
I always say I started.
How long you been doing Culture? Or tell me your introduction to entrepreneurship.
Ooh, introduction.
And you don't got to go all the way to the end, but I'm curious to know what
my
was
grandfather.
It? You know how we started with a candy.
It was my grandfather.
Okay.
My grandfather was my introduction to entrepreneurship.
Yep.
He worked 40 hours a week, retired from a job, but he had pool hall, had a nightclub, gambled. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was a hustler. So me seeing that, I didn't see somebody just going to work. I see somebody working around the clock. Mm. And had the resources. You can tell he worked around the clock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's where it started for me. And then that was the unconscious part of it, right? And I seen it, but the unconscious part, you start to emulate these same things as you grow up.
Yeah.
And then I think it really, really like hit me when my first year in college, summer, I had a mentor named Eric. Eric did real estate.
Okay, what college you went to?
I went to University of Tennessee in Chattanooga.
Okay.
And Eric did real estate, and me and my roommate, Ryan, we would go there, we would train in the morning, we would go sit at his office right over there in Riverdale.
Yeah.
And Eric, he taught us how to incorporate a company, right? They used to sit in the office and try to sell diamonds.
Yep.
So I learned about commodities there, how cutthroat that business is. And then from there, man, it's just like all of these different experiences. Once I stopped playing football, it was just like, man, I got to get rich.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't want to, it was crazy because I mean, I got to get rich, but I don't want to just do stuff for money. Right. So you're just like, what?
Yeah.
You want to get rich, yeah, but you just don't want to do stuff
for
money.
Yeah.
And so it was like that ongoing journey for me from that perspective. So that's really where it started at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My cousin, everybody was like these hustlers. All my cousins drove trucks. So it was always some level of entrepreneur that I was around growing up.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So what made you actually come to Davos? So we're out Switzerland, the most random spot, the gathering of billionaires. Random. And I know you was already on a roll. Like, you're constantly on a roll. What was the reason of, I need to be out there?
Bro, listen.
And the takeaway you got, too.
Black women is my, like, pathway to success. They've always opened doors for me.
Yeah.
I never was really a part of the boys club like that. So I'm in Vegas for Formula One. I get introduced to Megan by a guy named Brandon from Broccoli City. So Megan is like, hey, we're doing something at Formula One. Come to Carbone for dinner or whatever. So I go to Carbone. I meet Judine, meet Deborah.
Yep.
And they was like, it was like four black women. They're like, yo, you got to go to Davos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the fuck is Davos?
Yeah.
It was like, we're only the most important place where economical, financial empowerment and what's happening. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's where I need to be at. You talking about, that sounds like some money. Global money, right?
Facts.
So that's how I learned about Davos. And so they was like, we got to get you housing. And I didn't really know how serious it was.
Yeah.
So they just followed up with an email, right? And it was like, yo, we got your housing. And it was like the housing, like 15 racks. Then I got to hurry up because it's going to, I think it was the Polish embassy overbooked. And now that you got an extra apartment.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So I just paid for the shit, not knowing what I was getting myself into. But like I say, Black women has always have always led me
yeah.
the right way. So I learned about Davos from the women over there at the Culture Leadership Fund.
And I ain't gonna tell you, Megan and Judine official, bro. We're at, bro, I don't know where we was at. I don't think it was Davos. It was somewhere, maybe, was it All-Star? Or, I was somewhere about to go buy a ticket. She said, you want one? Where was we just at? Was it All-Star? Was it an All-Star weekend or something?
Probably was.
So anyway, Earn Your Leisure had a game. I guess it was All-Star, weekend.
Yep, that was All-Star.
I'm talking to her at the game. Like, yeah, I'm about to go try to figure out my tickets for the night. You want to go? I got a ticket. Boom. Set me on the third row. I'm like, yo, Egan just, like, she's just the plug. Like, yeah. But I like that concept, how they never, they've been a pathway to just leadership. I mean, don't steer you wrong, essentially.
1,000%.
Yeah. So, bro, one of your chapters in your book, Workhorse, is the book for your culture playbook or whatever. And tell me what that means. But what I see, bro, is like just from our short time knowing each other, from one, knowing what you're doing in music, knowing what you're doing in sports now, and just in business and just on plane to plane, where did you develop, or what does that mean to you? Like, because I'm starting to notice even more and more that people are successful. I know you don't got to go as hard as you going. I know you don't probably got to get on these airplanes. You said, I got passive money. I got sleep money coming in. But what I'm noticing, the people I know really crushing it, they're working harder now than ever. They got 100%. They got true work ethic. Where did you get it from, and why are you even going this hard right now?
My mother is definitely where I get my work ethic from. When we talk about be the workhorse, not the show horse, you know, bro, I believe that we have an opportunity as Black people. I look at COVID as like after Christ, right? It's like, I look at it as like, yo, there's a transition of wealth happening. New technology, new businesses, new faces. And if we don't take advantage of this period of time, we might not see another opportunity like this again as multicultural people.
Yeah.
I don't think another opportunity is like where, you know, such a large amount of people died who probably had views of racism, of how, you know, how things should look at the top. And now new faces are being empowered. Women are being more empowered. I don't think if you're Black and you understand the opportunity and you're responsible, I don't know if it's going to be another time like this.
That's a fact. Like, you have to, one of the things my mentor E.T. said, used to say, was you got to take advantage of an opportunity of a lifetime during a lifetime of the opportunity. We don't know when COVID coming back. I mean, I don't, but that was that time people got paid during that pandemic.
Oh yeah, 1,000%. You know, our business exploded. I couldn't even get no PPP, nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Facts. I was more so nervous to get it because you ain't coming back.
I definitely was nervous.
Well, oh, you bought a house, you bought a car. I don't want none of that smoke, bruh.
I'm straight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, nah, I'm good on that, bruh.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like what it for me. Like, I just see the goals that I want to achieve for myself. And I believe that not only is the right opportunity and it's the right timing, but like, you know how you grow up, you're like, man, when I get that opportunity, I'm not going to be that motherfucker to get the opportunity or not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you know I wish I would have done it.
I
said it earlier in a show we did, and my brother Jabril, owner of Passport Heavy, said discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons.
I'm telling you.
It's easier to do it now and versus later on. You like, I wish I could have, would have. Because I still got a lot of I wish I could have, would have, and I don't want to have any more of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Can't. I don't got none of them motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, I'm going so hard, especially now, because I see clear. I've always seen clearly, but it's a difference when you're imagining versus when it's like here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you can pick the phone up and say, how did you do that? And they give you real answers.
Yeah.
Because they done did it. And you're like, oh, that was it? Okay, cool. Because you didn't really have those opportunities before with resources.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you and your partner, Brent, he's one of the biggest artists in the game. And came from nothing, right?
Right.
Like, bro, what's the formula to, and independent.
Right. Definitely independent.
You know what I'm saying? What's the formula to being able to help have the vision to help curate someone, to help them become one of the biggest in the game? Like, what is the, and I know that's a loaded question, but for artists out here listening now, what's some things that they should be focusing on?
One of the
if they don't got a tie, they don't got a machine that knows here's what to be doing, here's what not to be doing.
Community.
Community, okay.
Like, one of the things that really, 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 really helped us was that I started in the publishing side of things on the music business. Yep. So I had a lot of relationships with writers and producers. So when Brent decided that he didn't want to write and produce anymore, and we all pretty much moved to LA, I helped put him around a bunch of creative people that he could build community with.
Yeah.
And building community, what ends up happening is when you have people on the journey with you. So you never feel like you're alone. That's one of the most important things that we don't talk about. When you own this journey, to be around people that's like-minded, where you never feel like you're doing it alone, a year can feel like 3 months.
Yeah.
It feels like it just, because you got people that's like, oh man, we're finna go out. We're gonna go to the studio. Then after the studio, we're gonna go out. We're gonna go back to the studio. Then we're gonna travel together. We're gonna do everything together, right? And then the second part about the community is that everybody gotta be willing to get educated. Everybody got to be willing to get educated.
Talk about how important that is, bro.
Everybody got to be willing to be educated. And when the crew identifies that it's one person that is more educated than everybody else and they can help teach people, that person got to know how much responsibility they just inherited.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was that person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was that person that one of the producers on Paperboy Fabe, we recorded in Paperboy Fabe's studio from 2015 all the way up until 2022. And I was like, man, this man has given us studio time. I don't even know how to repay him. So what we did in our efforts was we put out a record in 2017 called Language, Paperboy Fabe featuring Brent.
Mm-hmm.
And we just gave him all the royalties.
Mm.
At that time, that record, you know, was like, it was just a record, it was out. But now, over time, man, that shit literally has changed his life.
Wow.
Right? And he's just one of the producers
that
was a part of that community.
Yeah.
And everybody stayed disciplined. So when people would hit up Fabe or Nonsense or D-Pad or Two or Pablo Dylan trying to get records for Usher or for Justin Bieber, they never sent Brent records.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, I don't give a fuck about Rihanna. No disrespect to Rihanna.
Yeah.
I don't care about this, my Beyonce.
Yeah.
So the community got to believe in you so much that they ain't even going to sell off your music too for the opportunity for a check.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't nobody. So Brent music was protected because the people he was working with believed so much in him blowing up.
Yeah.
And not the chance of like taking one of his best songs and trying to sell it to one of the next big artists.
And let me ask you, when you say taking best songs, trying to sell it, are they taking the beat and the thing that someone wrote? Like, yo, I wrote this for him, but I think you should get this.
So Brent wrote all his music in those early stages, but it's more so the production.
Yeah.
Right? Because when he writes, he might sit on a song for 4 years.
Yeah.
But that production might be so crazy that you got to believe that this is the one for this artist. And this is his record. It can't be nobody else's record.
Yeah.
And that's it's hard to find when everybody is like on their own thing.
Yeah.
But when we all together, money come in, everybody breaking bread.
Yeah.
Money come in, everybody get paid at the same time based on what they contributed to the song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I want you to walk me through, bro, because I'm just so confused how you get paid on a song, bro. Because I hear about the producer get a piece, the writer get a piece.
Right.
Somebody talk about the snare. I'm like, yo, how does the, and then it's forever. The label get a piece. Right. For some people, the artists don't get none of it. The master. I'm like, bro.
So I'm gonna walk you through how we pay everybody.
All right.
And then I'll tell you how traditionally, right?
All right, cool.
So we have a motto in our company where 50% of the art always go back to the artist.
Yeah.
Always go back to the creators.
Yep.
That other 50% is how you market it, how you pay for your distribution, how you pay for whatever services that you gotta do. But 50% of it, we pretty much don't even account that, because that goes to who produced it, who wrote it. So we look at the pie as like, okay, if the money comes
50%
in,
to the artist, boom.
So 50% to the creators that created it.
Okay.
So that's 25% to the artist,
okay.
25% to the producer.
Okay.
Right?
The producer, that's the person who makes the beats.
That's the one that do the musician, anybody that contributed to build out the production.
Okay.
Right? Even on the artist side, anybody that contributes to writing the song or singing the song. So that's the artist, the songwriter, if the artist is not writing their own music, right?
So, because I'm going to get this. I'm finally going to get this. So the way y'all doing it. So I'm going to go on my 50 side. So 25% to the artist. Now, if someone also helped the artist write that, they're on the artist side of getting a piece of that.
Exactly.
On the other side of that 50, which is another 25%, that's my producer.
Yep.
Now, that could be one producer. It could mean three people contribute to that beat. Exactly. We're going to bust that
down. Busting that down.
Based on how much you contributed.
1,000%.
All right, that 50 is out of there. Boom.
It's gone.
Then we come over here to this 50.
So now this is the business 50.
Got it.
Every artist that we work with have some level of an entity. So 30% of that 50, that's the artist entity.
Yep.
That's where the money
the
is coming from.
Partnership of yes. that we have with the artist.
Exactly. And then it's 20% that we take from a distribution and a management side.
Got
so
it.
We do all the distribution, label services, all the management, and we make sure that 30% is valuable. So if the money is coming in, we're telling the artist, like, yo, this money that you got to invest comes from that 30%. That's how you're pretty much reinvesting 30% of your money back into your business to grow.
This money that's coming in, you got to reinvest it.
Yep.
So my 30 as I keep my artist bread. That's
your artist bread.
But you need to be reinvesting your 30 back into your brand and okay.
Everything.
Got
so
it.
That's how
perfect.
The music is getting paid for, the videos.
Yep.
And you want to build your business up so that 30% can fund all those things.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so we don't have all, we're not paying 88% or 70% to some major labels or stuff like that, right? So none of the producers that we work with, nobody get producer advances.
Okay.
Because everybody get paid every month on the 15th.
Yep. Okay.
From our partner, our distribution platform called STEM. It's been like that since 2016.
Okay.
So we have multiple millionaires that's producers off of this formula.
Okay.
Right?
Let me ask you this, Ty, so I understand this. So I got that. Now, distribution. When you say distribution, right now, people ain't selling CDs anymore, from my understanding. So distribution now is, hey, I want this to go on Apple, Tidal,
right.
Spotify. Whoop. How does that part work now?
So what ends up happening is, let's start with like streaming, right?
Yeah.
Streaming is a part of distribution. You got digital sales, which consists of streaming, and digital downloads.
Yep.
Then you got physicals that consist of vinyls, CDs, cassette tapes, all of those nostalgic things that people still do buy. So what ends up happening is the digital service providers like Spotify, Apple Music, they don't deal with the physicals, right? They only deal with streaming and digital downloads, right? When they collect that money from a streaming perspective, every distributor have different rates. Right, so Spotify pays out on average 0.003 or 4, right? Apple Music might pay out 0.005. Well, like everybody has their own like percentages and it accumulates over time. And then once it's accumulated over that 30-day period or 60-day period, they pay it all to the distributor. Distributor takes it, take their percentage. Our percentage started, we always been on a 95.5. Now we're on a 92.8 because our distributor changed.
Tell me what that means, 95.
So 92% goes to us,
98%
goes to the distributor.
So Spotify, Tidal, whatever is made, they're going to keep 8 or 2% of it and the rest come home.
Well, Spotify, they're going to pay what all is made that's owed to the artist.
Yeah.
To the distributor.
To the distributor.
The distributor is going to take their percentage, that 8%, 5%, whatever that fee is, off top.
Yeah, and then send the rest to you.
The rest of it comes in, and that's how we do our 100% pie.
Mm.
So that's the adjusted gross.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good. So yeah. So now that is, and impart me, this is first time I've ever been broken down with me for me to really, because I want to really
understand. Because it's a business model when you think about it.
What you just said, an artist don't get this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some real, So now when these distributors, Spotify, they doing their subscriptions, they doing whatever, but despite all of that, y'all going to owe me X amount of money 100%. That I'm going to receive. That goes to the distributor, which is STEM, you just said. And STEM is basically the company that takes the music, and I'm responsible for spreading it on every Tidal, on every platform
across
the world.
We call it the pipes.
Okay,
they're the pipes. They're to make sure that it gets to all of the DSPs, right?
Okay.
We have our own label
DSPs,
services.
DSPs,
digital service providers.
Okay, perfect.
That's where
okay.
the Spotify, Apple Music is, all their digital service providers,
right? Perfect.
And so we're responsible for building our own label services, our own marketing, our, that's why we get such a small percentage that we pay the distribution, right? We could have.
Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class.
Been at TuneCore and just paid $99 a month. But with STEM at the time, they paid everybody separately. So when the money comes in, everybody get paid at the same time. So I don't have to deal with back-end accounting.
Yeah.
So it saves me money.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay out millions and millions of dollars in accounting on the back end.
Yeah, that's time.
Yeah. So that's like automatic.
So when you say, all right, now we, everybody on this team, they get paid on the 15th or something that. So the distributor sent it to y'all and then you distribute it to based on the contribution.
Yep. It's a digital contract everybody signed.
Okay.
Everybody in our platform, they have to say that I accept these splits based on what I contributed. And when they accept it, they have to put their bank account information in. They have a login.
Yeah.
They go log in and they see their statements every month.
So my question to you is, so you do a song.
Mm-hmm.
You do a song 15 years ago.
Yep.
You still get paid for it today.
Yeah, 100%. That's why digital streaming is better than physical sales. Because I can buy a catalog right now today that came out in the 70s and it's going to be screaming just like it sounded in the 70s today. It ain't gonna be no scratch CDs. I ain't got to go buy it.
Yeah.
It's unlimited inventory.
Yeah. Right. It's like a digital product. It ain't fit. So what I'm trying to, so all right, we got that. Bam. So now people are sampling someone else. Like I hear new songs, but it's an old beat. Like, it's this new one that I just keep hearing. It sounds like it's a Kanye thing, but
right.
Dang, I forgot what it was. But moral of the story is like, all right, you know what? I like this song you did back in the day. I want to sample the beat.
Right.
Now I got to give that artist a piece of me sampling that beat, right? I can't pay on one time. It's a...
Yeah, so what you end up doing, depending on how much of the sample you use, right? They call it a new master, right? So I'm going to take this old sample. I'm going to remix it, do whatever I do. I'm going to pull the guitar. I'm going to put whatever I'm going to put out of it. Now there's a new master. That old sample is entitled to the production and the master royalty. Like, let's say if it's a song, you just take the MP3 and you sample it. You gotta clear the master and you gotta clear the publishing. But if you take the song and you just replay it, then you just gotta clear the publishing because you're not using the tangible master, right? But if you replay it, you pay less money to clear the sample,
okay.
Right? So if you replay it, all you're paying is like the publishing clearance fee and you gotta pay the what they call the mechanical royalties. That's pretty much on the publishing side.
Explain to me the difference between publishing and masters. I always hear the thing masters is like you owning your music, but I want to, from your understanding, I want to know publishing
simple
master.
As this. Yeah. Master is your voice.
Yeah.
Publishing is the lyrics that's being written. You write lyrics for songs, you write lyrics for music.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
If you hear somebody singing, that's a master.
So most of these labels, somebody owns their master. So they're signing. So every song I make If I sign to a traditional label, yep, and they own my masters, which means these residuals, I don't get paid on those residuals.
No, they do have a royalty system.
Okay.
But the royalty system is trash.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So the royalty system ranges in between 16 to 22% at the max of a royalty system. And what ends up happening is, let's say you got two producers and you want to pay both of those two producers 2% each.
Yeah.
That's 4%. It's going to come out of the artist's royalty. It's not going to come out of the overall pot. It's going to come out of the artist royalty. So the artist royalty go, if it was a 18% royalty, now I go to a 14% royalty. And then when all the money comes in and the artist is entitled to 14% of that money, they take however much money that you owe them and they only recoup it against the 14%. So it takes you longer.
So they advanced me $200,000. We did an album. They deducting that from what I'm about to give them back.
Yeah. So if you did they advanced you $250,000 and the album do $1 million in sales, you know, and you got a 20% royalty, right? So you get $200,000, right? So now that $200,000, they're gonna take that $200,000 that you earned, and they're gonna measure it against that money that you actually owe, and they're only gonna subtract it from that. So let's say you owe $500,000, it made $1 million. They're gonna take that $500,000 and take away from the $200,000.
Yeah.
Instead of it being a net profit.
Yeah.
They're not gonna take it from the $1 million where it's like, okay, boom, we're gonna bust down the $500,000 because we made $1 million, but it cost us $500,000 to get it out. They're not gonna do that. They're gonna take however much you owe, and they're gonna only measure it against what's your royalty. So the smaller your royalty, the longer it is for you to get out of the deal.
I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find a space. Number two, how to fund the space, and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training, or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways to leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training, or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go. So they ain't like, I got it. So basically what you, yo, if we went and netted $500,000, you owe $500,000. We ain't going to just take our $500,000. We going to slow walk that $500,000.
They slow walking all that.
Because I want to keep you in this.
1,000%.
Damn, this music. So this is how these universals, That's how they up like this.
Yeah, they definitely up like that because of that system. So we don't do none of that. You know what I'm saying? All stuff is black and white. Yeah. It ain't no recoupment. Everything is like, because when an artist signs to a major label and they're owned by the major label owns 50% of their master. They can't own the whole master because they need the lyrics for the actual music.
Yeah.
Right? They need the sound for the music. So when I say sound, it's master. So when somebody playing drums, that's the drums of the song. The label is trying to acquire that. So let me tell you, this is how crazy it is. So when you produce a record for the label, they'll come to you and they'll say, okay, we want to pay for this other side of this master. They will buy it from you and then tell you that they'll advance you the money and say that you have to pay the money back. But they'd acquired your IP, gave you an advance against it, then tell you got to pay it back.
Oh, they acquired your IP. I acquired your IP. Now I'm gonna give you advance on helping you whatever you may need, and then you still gonna have to pay that back.
Yeah. So they never acquired it. They pretty much got your IP, gave you an advance to get your IP, but you gotta pay that back before you can get a royalty.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? When I sell something to you and you buy it from me, you buy it.
Yeah.
And then if I say, well, listen, you can buy it from me, you can own it, but I still need a residual. Okay, cool. Well, you keep that $10,000, and then when the residuals start coming in, then I pay your back end. But they said, nah, this that $10,000 that I advanced you for owning your shit. Now, over time, that $10,000 got to be paid back. And then you get your royalty.
Bro, how many people you giving game on this? Because this is a masterclass.
I mean, that shit is all in the book. It's only going to get deeper.
Y'all better go. They better go get this. Bruh, so the traditional label is like, they eating crazy. And I'm talking about on hundreds of artists.
There is no label that loses.
Wow.
So we clear. Don't believe, there is no label that loses. Because if they lose, they write it off.
Yeah.
That's business. There isn't, if you're generating money like that, and you have deal structures like that, and you own IP that long for 50, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, and you're constantly acquiring IP because everything's for sale.
Yeah.
They never lose it.
Yeah. Let me ask you why I hear the thing, all these people selling their masters, 100 million. Is that for the cash out? Just let me get this lump sum. Like, why are people selling their masters?
The music business is very complicated. It's very complicated to pass that shit down to your family. Yeah. It's easy to pass down real estate.
Yeah.
It's easy to pass down all business. It's easy to pass down a stock portfolio.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to pass down a music catalog because it's a certain specific type of knowledge, specialized knowledge that you got to understand to be able to monetize that shit.
Yeah.
So if a motherfucker's gonna give them like 200 million, it's like, man, I'll cash that out and go put it in an annuity or put it in a brokerage account and then go acquire, you know, a small island or go invest into a bunch of Apple stocks. Like, it's a simpler business to understand. So that's just my thought process on why people are selling. You know what I'm saying?
It's like this complicated my kit. So for example, every time, and I don't know his, but all these songs that the Mariah Carey's, they still eating crazy when these songs spin.
Because think about when a song goes viral on TikTok that's been out for 40 years.
Yeah.
Now it just spike up on the charts.
Yeah.
Old money.
It's just, wow.
Back at it.
As you call it, F you money.
Yeah, definitely fuck you money.
Golly. Yeah. This is intriguing, bro. It's like,
I'm telling you, man,
you just need one hit.
Yeah, I mean, you get one hit. If you get one hit at the right time, if you get one hit the first time you drop a song, sets you up in a very, very fucked up way. But if you get one hit after you done drop four projects, now that one hit give that whole project a boost. The whole catalog get that lift.
So let me ask you a question. I don't know if you work with her. No, this ain't, I ain't coming at you, but Young Ma, that crap was hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
Never heard nothing again.
Yeah, because it's very hard when you get, everybody want the hit record.
Yeah.
But the hit record is really about the timing of the hit record.
Yeah.
If you get a hit record after you don't put out five albums,
it's
more valuable.
But if you only put one album and you had one hit or one single.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough to follow that up.
Yeah.
Very tough to follow that up.
Mm, so
that record was crazy. Yeah, that joint. Everywhere.
Let me ask you this, bro, because this is a struggle. And I don't know, on some artist development ties, like, and I don't want to name nobody, especially Philly, bro. There's so many people I saw that was hot. They came in here, they had a hit, and they just fizzle out, dog. Whether they quit, whether they get in drugs, whether they just get in, like, why don't nobody stick with the craft, dog? Like, I don't be understanding, like, what's up with people, like, hitting these one hits and
right.
That be it?
So you can't control that, right? You can't control the one hit. That's just the environment.
Yeah.
But what you can control is how disciplined you are when the hit happens, before the hit happens and after the hit happens. And I just don't think the music industry value infrastructure. Not internal infrastructure. They go run to the major label for infrastructure. And the major label don't always have the best infrastructure for black people,
yeah,
right? Sometimes our infrastructure is what we build for ourselves because we know ourselves a little bit better. That's not to knock the major label or the major film industries or any major entity. Sometimes when you build infrastructure for yourself, what ends up happening is they respect your infrastructure a lot better because they're like, shit, that shit's working. How can we participate in something that's working?
Yeah.
Versus putting all this money up and then having to do all the work as well. Once you realize that the label don't want to do no work. The label just want to put the money in.
So the label don't really be doing that?
Nah, they don't do no work.
Damn.
They stopped the development game. That's why you see labels laying off A&R. You know what I'm saying? I was fucking with my homie. I said, nigga, A&R about to start meaning artists in recruitment. That's what that shit about to stand for.
You know Ray Daniels?
Yeah, Ray, okay. That's my guy.
I don't know if you ever did this show, but that would be a good show.
Nah, I'm going to pull up on Ray.
Yeah.
To get that talk. Because Ray, me and Ray have a great convo because he comes
from
He
understand the game how you understand the game. Yeah. And he got a songwriter under him or somebody.
Them boys been grinding for a minute.
Yeah.
Minute getting it in.
So it's like, bro, you tell me I could be a song, not me, I don't got that skill, but right. I'd be a songwriter. I write a hit. I'm out like the Dream writing Beyonce. Mm-hmm. What's the split? Like he getting a percentage of that spend, right? If I write Beyonce.
Yeah. Like the songwriters got to get treated better.
Yeah.
You know, Dream different because he's like a unicorn.
Yeah. He could demand almost what he wants.
Yeah, Dream different. But just the average songwriter, they don't really get treated properly.
Yeah.
And because they don't get any, they don't participate on the master of the record because the excuse is that you don't own none of the masters to actually participate. And their things is like I told you, sound and lyrics. The songwriter only write the lyrics. The songwriter don't play an instrument that's sound and they don't sing. So they try to box them out of getting a producer royalty or a royalty off of the master. You know what I'm saying?
So songwriters, most of them aren't getting, like if I wrote Mike Jackson joint, they ain't getting royalties on that.
Not on the master side. Okay. On the publishing side, yes.
All right, now I got to get clear. So royalties, we getting paid on the publishing and the master.
There's two royalties. Well, it's a lot of royalties, but the two main flow is the master royalty, which is coming from the sound recording,
okay,
when you hear somebody sing.
Okay.
And then the publishing money that coming from the people that wrote the lyrics that are being sung.
Okay, here's a good example that can give me better understanding. 50 Cent on Power.
Yep.
It's a big rich town.
Yeah.
How is that being generated? Is that every time because that's not going on Shopify. I mean, they ain't going on Spotify, right? That's going on, I'm watching this on Power. How does that work?
So that particular record, every time it's being spent, it generates a performance royalty that's paid out from the publishing side, right? Now that sync, when they originally used that song, and it's television, so I don't know exactly how the overall structure is, but when they first say, yo, I want to use this song, you got to pay a clearance fee to the master and to the publishing side. And usually that's a one-time fee, mm-hmm. right? Depending on the overall agreement. But usually when it said TV shows, it's on TV, every time that song is played, it's a performance royalty that's probably being paid out to ASCAP, BMI, which is considered PROs.
So what PRO mean?
Performance rights organizations.
So just to give me understanding, this I'm watching Power. I go watch all 50 episodes. They know I'm watching this on Netflix. That's a performance royalty. Every time that thing hits a big rich town.
Not on Netflix though, but on Starz.
On Starz.
Like traditional cable television, a premium cable television, is still in those traditional deals.
That's why 50, and 50 might have wrote it. And he got the lyrics and he got the song.
50 robbing the bank, man. He robbing the bank, man. He really got paid to get rich or die trying, man.
Woo!
Yeah.
Bro, this game is different, bro.
Oh, it's definitely different.
But it's very hard to understand. Like, you got to really do a deep dive on this to really grasp. Because if not, you're going to get tricked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't charge people for information
because
it's like you say, it's that hard to really get it. But like, I just turned 40, right? And I started the music business in 2008.
Yeah.
And I think for 4 years.
15 years in the game.
I think the first 4 years, I felt like I was an intern.
Yeah.
I didn't really start seeing some motion until 2012, right? So from 2012 to now, that's 12 years, right? Man, I'm like that when it comes to this shit.
Because I
studied so long when nobody was watching. And not only did I study so long when nobody was watching, when it came to Brent's career, and there's a lot of other smaller artists that just did not keep going and have the discipline to keep going the way Brent did.
Why?
That's like what I said, bro. Like sometimes.
What else can you do that can make you this amount of money, that can blow you up, that can make you a star?
Sometimes it's just like the guys that I've helped build up that are independent, they're seeing $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, and they don't got to do nothing.
Yeah.
That can make you lazy.
Cool. Yeah.
100%. When you ain't come from money. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So Brent's always been the art. Like, it's always been about the art. It was never about the money until like recently.
Yeah.
When he started seeing like, oh, hold on, this how much money this shit make?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I gotta like wake up and look at the dollars. But like, I did so much studying on so many different layers. Then that studying was being put into action through Brent's career and our journey. Then I started formulating my own formulas on like, oh, we can do this. Oh, maybe that'll work. So it wasn't just me passively watching somebody else doing it. It's learning, reading, studying, like chopping it up with lawyers, learning about finances while really understanding the music business at a very holistic level.
Yeah.
So that's why I say when I dive in, it takes so much out of me because I really know every single piece of the puzzle.
Mm. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. And this new business, the old shit, that's the old shit. It ain't today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And this is the way, like for you, like what are you, when you looking for a partner, artist, to whether manage or to partner with to help them blow up, what you looking for right now?
I'm looking for a motherfucker that can keep up, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This machine is a machine.
Yeah.
And if you can't keep up, I'm not that excited.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you say that work ethic,
understanding that when you get an opportunity, when a record show its face, when the fans be like, ooh, I like that, you got to drive that motherfucker because you don't know if the next record is going to feel that way to the fans. You know what I'm saying? They might stick on that record for you for 5 years before they get on another record that they really love that much.
Yeah. Like, bro, you know this record, I've been playing this joint crazy. That new Future, Rick Ross and Metro, that crap.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, stop what you're doing. I know you're watching this episode. I want you to go to 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I'm going to say it again, 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I had the privilege this year to help multiple people do 6 and 7 figure days leveraging virtual events. And I put together a 7-step process that's going to walk you through a step by step by step. And once you're done with that book, if you're like, Neo, I want to learn this a lot more in a deeper sense, I want you to go to mastermindwithneo.com. This is one pillar of my mastermind, right? We got 5 different pillars that we teach. This is just one pillar, how to dominate virtual events, right? So if you're interested, go to mastermindwithneo.com and book a call with my team to see if you are a good fit to join our mastermind. Let's go.
Yeah.
I know that thing's spinning.
Yeah, 1,000%. I've been playing that new Kendrick like crazy.
Yeah.
And that new Tommy Richmond.
Yeah. You know, I heard somebody say this, bro. They said, and I don't know much, but basically the person who wins the most in the beef between Drake and the beef between Kendrick is universal. Cause I think they
both of them.
Yeah, they eating on all of that.
You never lied about that motherfucking shit.
What about Birdman, bro? Like,
Birdman set for life, man. He own all that. He own all that catalog. So Birdman just Birdman.
So we talking about Drake, Nicki, all of them.
Well, not
initially.
Young Money no more. Yeah initially. Young Money. Initially, 1,000%.
So I mean,
yeah.
This game, I'm ready to become a music game, bro. I'm trying to go find me an artist. But bro, like this game is. This has been the first time it's been broken down to me where I'm like, oh, all right. I think I got the first.
Because I do
know
business.
A little bit about it. Yeah, you music. Do.
So I don't do music business and then trying to figure out business.
Yo, artists need to get with you, bro. No rap before, like, they got to know what they doing with this stuff.
Yeah. Nah, like, for me, now I tell my team, we've been talking about this, you know, because, like, only artists I really deal with or want to deal with is the ones that understand the type of work they got to put in before they probably even meet me or meet an individual like myself that can really be able to say, yo, they go to resources. Yo, here goes these different things. Don't do that. That ain't going to help you move that way. You know what I'm saying? Oh, don't do that. That ain't going to help you move that way. And it's that type of information. Because me, I never was like, oh, that old nigga, fuck the old niggas. Nah, I called all the old homies like, yo, how you do this back in the day? I need to digitize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I need to take what you did and I need to figure out how to do it today, but in a digital way, right? Yeah. And get that game that I can never get because I ain't their age.
Yeah.
And I don't have their experience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. I'm always I'm always curious, and it's different. Like if I'm calling Troy and Rashad, like I need you to speak. You know, for the most part, they gonna come do it right on the op. They calling me, I'm gonna go do it right.
Right.
You hit me, Neil. Can you come speak? I'm gonna go. It's just it ain't even a. I ain't asking for no. I'm just showing up. I'm just pulling up. When I see artists on tour, like I go to a city, they calling in a favor. When they come out there, I got to get them, you got to give me a bag for this?
Right.
Or is it based on the relationship you got?
It's based on the relationship.
Okay.
There's always a financial exchange in some shape, some form, right? It's either already has happened through a feature, through a favor you did for me. You know, that's the community part about it. You know what I'm saying?
How do features work? So I hear artists say, yo, I need $250,000 for a feature. So you going to give me that bread and I still eat off of when this thing get cooking too?
Yeah, so what ends up happening is when they give them that money, they got to recoup that back for that feature. You know what I'm saying?
So sometimes I gave you $250,000 to do a feature. They got to recoup, meaning I got to recoup the $250,000 back.
So basically, the feature makes money, and the artists that featured on it get a percentage.
Yeah.
That percentage that they're getting, that's what you're kind of holding hostage until you get your money back.
Got it. Right? Okay. Some people don't get that.
Some people don't do that. Some people are like, yo, it's flat, boom, keep it moving. It just all depends on what kind of
situation.
Yeah.
But is there always.
Paying no $250,000 for no feature, though.
Got it. All right. Yeah. All right. See, I be seeing people say, but like.
They do that. That's a real thing, though.
Yeah.
I've definitely witnessed that.
Yeah. I'm like, I be saying, like, yo, you gotta pay to get it.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah.
Bro, this game, what's some mistakes, bro, that people need to be looking out for in this time, 2024? What's some things as artists or label owners that people need to be looking out for?
I think the biggest thing is that you gotta make sure that you understand your business.
Yeah.
Too much information out here to be a dumbass.
Yeah. Facts.
You see what I'm saying? It's just too much information.
Facts.
Because if we didn't understand our business, no, you good. If we don't understand our business, what ends up happening is if you get that hit record, you don't know if you're gonna get another hit record.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? We've caught the lick on like, and when I say a lick, it feels like a lick. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We've caught the lick on about maybe like 20 platinum records.
Wow.
That's independent.
Woo.
Because of our business was set up and it was like properly like done over time, right? So it took me and Brent 7 years to build this business so that now he go and he's building another business. Now he got an artist that's going crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And so all of these things, just community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being able to diversify.
Yeah. But I like that community because now I could call with folks. Yo, we got one. Let's all hands on deck. Let's get them one.
Let's get it. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
So now, if you did 20 platinum records, it's a science to it now. It's not Kanye, Jake, Beyonce, they could go make a hit.
Yeah. It's like there is a science to the marketing.
Yeah.
When you start seeing how your audience kind of like revolve around the music that you're making.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let me ask you, so when I hear like, you know, like labels, like we advancing, what is marketing to a label? Calling, putting you on certain shows? Like, we paying DJs to spin this
record? Right.
What does marketing mean?
For a label, marketing costs for the label, they're shooting a music video, right? Cause that's a marketing cost. Going to radio, that's a marketing cost.
Meaning when you say going to radio, me taking this and almost treating it like a distribution to stem and yo, go put this everywhere. You're saying?
Yeah, radio meaning like iHeart, like the actual traditional radio station.
You gotta pay them to get
this. You gotta pay them. That's a budget that you have to put
in. That's pipes again almost.
Yes.
But for radio.
So for radio, like there's always somebody that works the radio for the record label. The Urban or Rhythmic or Top 40.
Yeah.
And that it's a budget that they have to do to get everybody moving and working around those different things, right? And some of those things is like DJ promo, mix shows, you know, adding records into rotation. There's just a level of like investments that labels make into that. International marketing, right? Labels have the infrastructure for international marketing so they can have their international marketing department go out and they have that cost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just spending money for things that people and outsourcing to people who have really, really, that's really great at what their jobs are.
Yeah.
But you independent, you can do the same thing. Yeah. You can hire those same people.
I mean, all signs pointing to be independent.
I'm biased.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm Facts, biased,
bro.
You know, our shit stand for can our leverage teach us real equity?
Yeah, can I?
What's culture stand for?
Yeah.
Can our leverage teach us real equity?
Wow.
So like, I'm independent to the, I'm selling books out the trunk, baby.
Yeah.
Until the right deal come.
Yeah, can our leverage teach us real equity? That's fire right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. It's just, are you actively looking for new partners for you?
If they got some checks rolling in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing about it is,
you're not looking for a newbie that you just gonna pop. You taking on people that's already like, bro, I'm with the label. I got out of it. I'm ready to come over here rock out.
Yeah, I'm looking for either an artist that got a understanding of their business,
like New York, LA, like Gilly.
Boom. So that's a great thing because we partner with Million Dollar Worth the Game because they have a certain level of influence. They know that they want to invest into the business.
Yeah.
We love the artist.
Yeah.
And they want to keep it independent.
And she hot too.
Yeah, and she hot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that was a developing project that I definitely raised my hand for because I knew I had partners.
Yeah.
And them niggas be working.
They workhorses. Workhorses, dog.
They be working. You know what I'm saying? And they get on the phone just like I get on the phone. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And they could make them calls.
Yeah, when it's needed. You know what I mean? That's, so when the record go, we know how to press that button.
Bro, I remember when rest in peace to Cheese.
Yep.
But when they had a track that was going stupid on the they did a challenge or something. Yep. Like it was, they go hard when it's time to go hard. They go hard every day.
Every day.
And I think that's you said something key. I think one key to partnership is having somebody who's willing to go as equally as hard as you, maybe with their strengths.
Yeah.
I think that's an important key. Like it don't seem like it work as good if like I go dumb hard and you want to chill.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, think about it like this, right? If you're a new artist and your record go viral on TikTok, the biggest thing you're going to need is information.
Yeah.
You're going to need to know, bro, how do I move this?
Yeah, tell me about that. How did that work?
All right, so
new artist record go viral on TikTok. And that can happen fast.
That can happen fast. It spread globally.
Yeah.
Across all DSPs. You see spikes everywhere.
Yeah.
Now it's like, what next? You can go the easy route and go sign with a record label. Or you can say, yo, let me find some partners that can come in, help me with digital strategy. Do I have an album ready? Right? Is some money that I can kind of like get a loan on, or if I can get the right partners, right? But a lot of it is just knowing what way to go. It's like, okay, this record is hot. What you want to do? Okay, cool. Let's go talk to this sync company.
Okay.
See if we can start getting some sync opportunities to keep it lively. Let's see if we can talk to Sirius Radio and Pandora to keep it growing. Let's see if there are some memes, like some strategies, some Discord strategies, some TikTok strategies, some Twitter strategies that can make it so that not just you're talking about it, but everybody is talking about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
But tough. Like, you can't necessarily say you're going to get that from a label. You're going to get that from a strategist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm a strategist.
Yeah.
You got some shit that's hot, we're going to figure out how to keep it hot.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So we got... And I keep saying, I'm learning, bro. I'm learning the music. I got the music business right now. So Todd, how does it work when I bring you somebody to the label? They ready to, Todd, I found this person. It may be traditional label first. I found this person.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Usher found Bieber. I don't know how true that is.
Usher was instrumental on the early part of Bieber because when Scooter found him, he took him to Usher and they kind of did like a partnership.
So how did that work? Somebody finds somebody, go take him to Universal. Yo, he next up, dog. Uh-huh. Do you get up? Can somebody negotiate a point on that? A finder's fee?
Yeah. So if you take somebody you can be the production company, or you can be the executive producer, or you can write yourself into the deal as the A&R and get a check every album. It's a lot of creative ways you can do it. You know what I'm saying? Me, I'm trying to put the music out.
Yeah.
I want in on the music.
Yeah.
I'll manage it to be able to distribute the music. I'll partner with it to be able to distribute the music, especially if it's hot.
Yeah.
Because if it's hot. And it's going already. Yeah. I know for a fact our team, we got a staff of 22 people.
Yeah.
I know our shit gonna take it where it need to go.
You know I saw whatchamacallit. They said they made Bobby Smurder. They said they made so much bread off of him, but what he saw off of that,
yeah,
they talking about it was nothing.
Man, it be like, it's a lot of those cases.
So let me ask you this: what's your response to people like your deal is the partnership model, bro? I don't want to part like I like. So it's either go to the label, and it seemed like that ain't the most favorable deal, or yeah, partner, but some people can't let go of the idea of equity.
Right, so if they don't want a partner, that's all good. You just don't get the same partner services. We can just do a regular distribution deal on a 4-year license, 5-year license. We put some money up for marketing, and you can be your own boss, but that comes with responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to think about your shit like I'm your partner. I'm going to think about you like I'm your distributor that's trying to make sure to grow your
I'm not business. All in.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about how I help you with a fragrance line.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about how I help you, you know, develop this beer shit that you really love. I'm not thinking about that shit. I'm going to go to sleep. That's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, you know, I tell people you could get 100% of a grape or 10-20% of a watermelon. Which one you want?
Just saying. Yeah. I think that it's a very, if you want to own, you have to be ready to invest. You got to be ready to be disciplined. You got to be ready to build some level of infrastructure around your IP.
Yeah.
If you're not ready to do that, find a partner. No matter who it is, it's the label, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But you got to be ready to work. You got to be ready to build infrastructure around your IP, and you got to be ready to invest.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you got to invest the money you have in your pocket. That means that when that money comes in, you have to know in your brain, I have to invest this to build infrastructure so that I can keep this going.
I think a lot of them is just blowing that money fast, bro.
Oh, but they definitely
jewelry, cars, bro. Clothes.
I only like driving, so it don't even matter to me.
Yeah. You know but I'm saying most people let me.
Yeah, they're not managing money properly.
Yeah. What needs to be in place to help them understand it? Or maybe you people don't want them to understand because if they understand.
At this point, it's like negligence. It's too much information. You can just pick your phone up and say, AI, I just made $100,000 from my new song. You know, how much money should I be reinvesting? You can ask the fucking AI and they will tell you a whole bunch of shit that you can go keep researching. It's negligence at this point.
Yeah.
If you still getting taken advantage of, that means that you're just lazy and unless you in a third world country that operating on 2G internet that can't really get the information. But if you here and you getting taken advantage of, that means that you are moving too fast. You're not putting a lot of care into things. Are you just desperate? And I don't really like dealing with people that are desperate.
Yeah. Whew, bro, you've been dropping. So you tell me this the type of game, and go get the book, Culture Book, y'all, the Culture Playbook. But you're about to drop 3 more parts of the book?
Yeah, we're doing 4 volume 1, 2, 3, and 4.
There's more game to be given?
Oh, it's so much game. Because I'm breaking it down like year as we live in life.
It's like a Bible.
Basically.
For the music business and business period.
Yeah.
And I hope I didn't go over my head what you just said. Like any artist listening, you need to be thinking about developing a more product. You just talked about a fragrance line.
Yeah.
A beard line. Yeah. Like why? Yo, I can't understand this for no reason, bro. Why don't these artists got merch?
I mean, we got merch.
But why most art is it I'm making so much money that it's just a drop in. I think of a little Uzi, and I don't know, but I'm like, bro, you need a merch site with 10 different SKUs and cooking them.
I just think that's the part of investing, infrastructure, and knowing that you have to do the work. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't got no merchandise business and you out doing shows, you don't got good setup infrastructurally.
Yeah.
Your infrastructure is like, you know what I'm saying, down.
Bro, not having merch is crazy to me.
Man, listen, man, I'm gonna figure out how to get some merch up, especially if that's the demand for it. I used to tell, I had this rapper that I was working with, he decided to sign with Eminem, but I told him, I was like, yo, why you signing the deal? We ain't even sold enough t-shirts yet.
Yeah.
You haven't even put the effort to sell the t-shirts.
Yeah.
And we finna go sign a deal? What are we doing?
Yeah.
But most people want the shortcut. Mm. I don't like no shortcuts, I don't like favors.
Yeah.
I don't like nothing that's going to give me this illusion that I did something better or faster than what you should pace it out at.
Yeah.
Because it puts you on this like this path that is like not manageable or sustainable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I tell you, it took me 7 years for me and Brent to build this business. Now I have all the information. I might can do it for you in 4 years.
Yeah.
Might.
Yeah.
But baseline, you got to plan for 7 years.
Yeah. I like that. And most people don't even think seven. I ain't got seven. Somebody trying to do it in a year.
This is how I tell everybody. I'm like, if you build out a business, it'll take you 7 years for it to be profitable, right? Let's say year one through five, you didn't really make that much money,
yeah,
right? But let's say year seven, year six and seven, you did $20 million. You just divide that $20 million by 7 years, man.
Yeah, and you did good.
You did great.
Man, what got me excited, and I ain't even in the game, is that you could get a song that could pop years later. Is that happens?
It happened to us multiple times. Still happening.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Get a song. So for me as a strategist, like, how do we go back and remake these joints pop? Yeah, well, so now you got people in the pie, in the structure, eating off of stuff that they did. I forgot about that joint I did.
Every time Brent dropped new music, I go to the back catalog and I find ways to like market the new catalog in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like it's unlimited dope.
This music label thing, it's the way. Don't let you get a popping young boy.
Yeah.
Some of these young boys be lit.
Don't let me get no popping rapper.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Don't let me get no popping rapper that'll listen. We'll run that shit out so crazy.
I'm looking for one. I got my eyes open. I'm bringing them right over. Sign me in some way.
Right.
I'm looking now, dog.
Get that check monthly, baby.
Yeah.
Ooh. We call it a stimmy.
Yeah, I like that. The stimmy. Yeah. On the 15th, I could use one of them joints.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
On the 15th for every month.
Yeah. Clockwork.
Yeah. Bro, what keeps you to keep learning, bro? We said something. I'm like, yo, what's up with the tour? You're like, yo, we ain't really on tour, but I'm on tour. Like, you constantly, I remember we was just like, man, sometimes the team don't even know where I'm at.
Yeah, nobody don't know where I'm at. Only person that kind of like got a clock on me now more better is like my girlfriend. Cause before I didn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So people know where I'm staying at, none of that shit.
She understand the grind?
Yeah, 1,000%.
You got to be with someone like you or me.
I can't turn it off.
No, hey, ain't no way to turn it. I gotta chill. It won't work.
I can't turn it off. It ain't like I've tried. Yeah. That shit don't work. Yeah.
I saw in Switzerland, dog.
Yeah, it don't work.
I'm like,
bro,
this dude don't stop.
They don't tell you about the fine print of ambition.
Yeah, say it again.
They don't tell you about the fine print of ambition.
That's a fact. They don't tell you about that, dog.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, for me, I'm constantly diving into multiple businesses because we was privileged and we took a risk to build a business in the music independently. So we have just enough surplus of money that I can go out with like celebrity capital. So Brent money with my money is celebrity capital. But hey, I got some celebrity capital. I'm trying to invest into these new companies.
Yeah.
So me traveling around a lot is like I'm going to all the sporting events. I'm going to some of the cultural things. I'm going to conferences. I'm going to, you know, concerts. I'm like just learning about new cities, you know, jumping on people tours, like learning what the managers are talking about or learning, or like I'm just constantly always moving so that I can like learn to be able to, because I'm writing these books as I'm like
real life,
Jay-Z and these shits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they being written while I'm living. So when I sit down, I'm just like, oh yeah, like that's crazy. I remember this meeting and I'm just reliving it and writing it. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm gonna tell y'all this. If y'all have watched any of this, I need y'all to go on Amazon or wherever these books are sold. It's The Culture.
Yeah.
CoutuRe.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Playbook.
Yep.
And y'all, I'm telling you, it is, I just start skimming through it.
Like, and it's free on Kindle. That's the thing. Yeah, like, you got a Kindle, you can just look, you can read it for free.
Yeah, and get the
game. Because for me, it's about the information being out.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to make money regardless.
Yeah, facts.
But this information being out,
the stimmy going to hit, baby. Yeah.
But I'm going to make money regardless because I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to identify opportunity. But I was conflicted because I didn't used to do none of this shit.
Yeah.
It was a whole time
frame. You behind the scene, boy.
Yeah, it was a whole time frame that I didn't even allow my team to take photos.
I remember you told me. You said that in correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you said, but you was like, well, I think you came out like showing, because I don't want nobody to take credit for what we did.
So that's a part of it. Like when you start getting big enough, the IP and the artist, people just will stand beside it and take credit for it. Yeah. If you don't voice it out.
Yo, we just dropped this banger.
Right.
And you wrote the snare on that joint.
Right. And so my biggest thing with the information was I was conflicted because I was like, man, why am I doing this if I ain't finna give out all of the information? Why am I taking such a long route if I'm not gonna give out the information? So it's like, yo, how you give out information if you don't want people to know who you are? You don't want to get photoed. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna get the book. I'm gonna write the book. Then I'm gonna do the podcast. Then I'm gonna come on shows like this. Yep. And then I'm gonna just be open for
you
people.
You do Earn Your Leisure joint yet?
I ain't did Earn Your Leisure yet. You know what I'm saying? They'll hit me when it's time.
Yeah, facts.
We'll get into the real business then. So it's like, I was conflicted and I had to get over that.
You said the real business. Am I missing something? Because I want in on everything. I want to make sure I ain't missing nothing.
We might have to do part two.
Oh,
we'll
do part two? Yeah, because I've learned the I don't want to play small now. Yeah.
We probably get in part two. All right, we'll come on.
Maybe when the next book drop, we'll do part two. But I want to know I'm trying to learn the game because I'm going to get me an artist. Yeah, Mark my words.
We doing this thing with City National Bank that I'll make sure you know about as well.
Yeah.
That's going to be about like wealth management and shit like that. Perfect. But like all of this is game that me and Brent talk about this all the time. I got Davos off R&B songs, bro. Black and forth. That's how I end up in Davos off of R&B songs.
Yeah.
So black kids out here that's trying to be whatever they're trying to be, they can utilize music. They can utilize art to get there.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You just got to have infrastructure.
Let me say this, and I'm going to get ready to get you out of here.
Yes, sir.
Everyone wants to be an artist, a rapper, bro, it's incredibly difficult to make it. Like, is it a thing where you look and you know when they got it, or is it or just keep putting something out till something hit? When do I give up on this game? Like,
well, the thing about it is you got to do everything to the point that you're still going to do it if it don't work.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Wow.
Like, because I never even thought about it not working.
Right.
I was just like, I don't know when it's going to work.
Right.
Like, I don't know when this shit gonna work, but it's gonna work. You gotta be that dedicated to it.
Yeah.
Because now you're telling the universe that you ain't gonna quit. You ain't put no time frame on it. You're like, man, I'm in this motherfucker.
Yeah. It gotta work.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm gonna go home, but I'm gonna come right back out. It ain't no quitting because I ain't stopped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good, bro.
And then the universe kinda come back to you in a different way. And sometimes it taking longer is the best way.
Yeah.
Because you're knowledgeable.
Yep.
You don't bump your head a few times.
You know the game now.
The game.
Hey, this has been I appreciate it, bro. This has been a masterclass on volume one.
Oh, yeah.
I've learned. Oh, yeah. I got the base now. I'm on base one now.
So we break it down for you. Now, when you start hearing all the other ways, you're like, I get that, but this make more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I'm on, yes. But yeah, I'm bro, I appreciate the game you just gave, Ty. Let everybody know how they can connect with you and support what you got going on.
Man, you can worldwideTy_ on Instagram, worldwideTy on Twitter. Check out Fuck You Money podcast on YouTube, Fuck You Money on Instagram. And we dropping every other week. We dropping game, talking about business, wellness, how you can remove yourself from things that don't serve you.
That's a fact, bro. And with that being said, y'all, this has been one phenomenal show. We'll see y'all in the next one, y'all. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below, share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and game from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.